If you have your Bible this morning, find Colossians chapter 3 and just hold that for a moment if you would. Colossians chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at today. I have a question for you. Have you ever heard of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe? How could you not, I guess, right? The way things are today. Well, if you have, then you're probably somewhat familiar with C.S. Lewis, Christian philosopher who wrote that story, and also the whole story, which is called what? The Chronicles of Narnia. Sure. Well, as the story goes, there is a wardrobe in the professor's house that is made out of very, very special wood. And I didn't realize this. I did some reading in one of his books. I'm familiar with the movie Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe and such, but my children have all read, you know, all the books and stuff. I haven't. But I learned that, as the story goes, there's a, well, I should say that years earlier, the lion, Aslan, told young Diggory, and Diggory becomes a professor later on, but this is in the beginning. The lion, Aslan, tells Diggory to take home an apple of life for his dying mother. The apple would heal Diggory's mother from cancer. So when Diggory is able to leave Narnia and go back home, he takes this apple with him that Aslan, the lion, gave to him. He gives it to his mother, she eats the apple, and she is healed from her cancer. Later, the story goes, Diggory takes the leftover apple core and he plants it in the ground in the backyard. The seeds grow into this very, very beautiful tree. Well, there's a strong storm one day that blows down the tree, leaving Diggory with a decision. Do I just take the wood and cut it up into firewood, or do I do something special with this special tree? Of course, what he decides to do is to build a wardrobe out of this special wood. As it turns out, the wardrobe, normally a place where we just keep clothes, like a closet, turns into the gateway from this world to Narnia. Well, this morning I would like us to think about wardrobes, like us to think about clothes, special clothes, found in what I'm going to call God's divine wardrobe. And we read about clothes that we are supposed to wear. And we find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, I ask this morning, in the next few minutes, as we think about wardrobes and we think about clothes and how we're supposed to clothe ourselves, help us to see it, Lord, through your eyes. And help us to see, Lord, how we can apply this to our lives today and every day. Because, Lord, I really believe it is our heartfelt desire to wear the right clothes. So, Lord, help us this morning as we think about that. In your name, amen. Amen. Summertime is here. And many of us either have or are going to go through our wardrobe. We're looking to put away our winter clothes, you know, and to drag out all that summer stuff. And we wonder, first of all, and I know we all go through this in our house, we wonder, first of all, if last summer's clothes still fit. That's the first question. And then we wonder if they're still in fashion. That's the second question. And of course, if they're not in fashion, we need to run to the mall real quick and pick up some of the latest stuff. And as we're doing this, we wonder if we have the right clothes for, you know, vacation. Maybe the trip to the beach or whatever you're going to do, but you got to have the right clothes, or for camp, summer camp of some kind, you got to have the right clothes. In our scripture lesson, the Apostle Paul is concerned about having the right clothes for living the Christian life, living the Christian lifestyle. Colossians 3 begins with Paul telling us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. He wants us to, it's like he wants us to let heaven fill our minds. Okay, he wants us to concentrate on eternal things rather than temporal things. Makes me think of, you know, today's summer fashions. Here today, gone tomorrow. Comparing that to being heavenly minded and wearing the kind of clothes that never go out of style. For graduation, my mom and dad came up, and or I should say they came down, and for Debbie's graduation, we're watching a movie on TV, a DVD, and I'm not sure this happened. My mom likes sports. She loves to watch the Phillies, and she loves the 76ers. But she never really watched hockey before. So we have at home the DVD Miracle, you know, the U.S. Olympic team beat the Russians and stuff, and we have that movie, and so I'm robbing. Grandma are sitting there watching this movie, you know, and Grandma's asking all kinds of questions, and Grandma's making the comment about, you know, she never really watched a hockey game, but, well, she did when we were little, but we went to a hockey game a couple times, but I never realized how rough it is, and how, you know, of course, they have all sound effects, and these guys crashing into each other, especially when we play the Russians, that's pretty wild, but she's a comment on this, but then the coach, they show the coach, and when did this happen, like, we're thinking, like, 1980 or so? I think maybe when this happened, I remember watching on TV. I remember extremely well watching this game on TV that the night that it was on. But my mom says, "Oh, look at the coach. Randy, you used to wear pants just like that." And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, mother. If you saw the movie, he's wearing plaid pants, bell-bottom plaid pants. I used to have several pairs of those. Yes, I did. I'm trying to forget that I wore those." The things that mothers remember, I'm telling you. But she picked that out right away. But again, you know, fashion. Here today, gone tomorrow. In style today, out of style next year. How things constantly change. When he had to accomplish what Paul wants us to accomplish, to become heavenly minded and not earthly minded, I guess the first thing we have to do is clean out the wardrobe. We got to clean out our closet. And he talks about that in the first part of Colossians 3. If you go back to verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. I think here again he's talking about all these clothes that we need to clean out of the closet and get rid of. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Remember he just said, think heavenly, don't think earthly. So whatever is earthly now, he's going to say, get rid of it. Clean out your closet. And then he lists them. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things. He's talking to these brand new Christians. He said, you used to wear those clothes, but now you're Christians. You've got to change your wardrobe. You need to clean out the closet and get rid of this stuff. And verse 8 again says, but now you must rid yourselves of all this stuff. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with all those practices and have put on the new self. Again, the idea, the symbolism. You used to wear those clothes, But now you're taking off those clothes, you're putting on new clothes. You put on the new self, these new clothes, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The whole idea is that it doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter what your place in life is, we are all equal in Christ. And all of you are to clean out your closet and buy new clothes and dress yourself in the new clothes. Reminds me of a TV show. What Not to Wear? Have you seen that? If you haven't, it's unique, I think. They pick out a woman who is, let's just say, fashionably hurting. Really bad. Who is, fashion-wise, a walking disaster. And they surprise her with an offer to come to New York City and to be on their show, and of course to sweeten the pot with a $5,000 credit card to come to New York and go shopping in all their fancy stores, you know, and buy all these new clothes, according to their rules, of course. But first they go through the women's wardrobe. You know, they have her come to New York and she has to bring all of her clothes with her, bring her whole wardrobe. And the first part of every show is when they go through her wardrobe. And they trash everything. Every piece of clothing she has goes in the trash can. I think the Apostle Paul's challenging us to go through our wardrobes, our wardrobe of clothes, our wardrobe of behaviors. Because we notice all those things we read are behaviors. And trash what is not heavenly. Trash what doesn't bring glory to the Lord. Throw them away. I like Warren Wiersbe a lot. And in his commentary, he makes this observation, which I wasn't thinking about, but struck me in this whole Colossians 3 thing. He says, we got to remember something. We must keep in mind that the pagan religions of Paul's day said little or nothing about personal morality. A worshiper could bow before whatever idol he or she chooses, put his offering on the altar, and go back to live the same old lifestyle of sin. You're not expected to change. What a person believed had no direct relationship with how he behaved. And no one would condemn a person for his behavior. So in their idol worship, there's no morality whatsoever. And no expectancy that, you know, you're going to change your morality somehow. They just didn't care. But the Christian faith brought a whole new concept into this pagan society. What we believe has a very definite connection with how we behave. This is a new idea. What you believe affects how you behave. So now cleaning out the old clothes makes room for the new clothes. In Colossians 3, 12 through 17, we just read that. The new clothes, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. And then verse 14. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together. Remember what Jesus said? In Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to share with you a story, true story. Comes from a Sunday school ministry that was happening in New York City. In part of the city that was called the most likely place to get killed. So imagine yourself in New York, in a neighborhood that was known as the most likely place to get killed. Pastor's name is Bill Wilson. He himself had been stabbed twice, shot at, and had a member of his ministry team killed in this neighborhood. And he tells this story. And think about love. He says, one Puerto Rican lady, after getting saved in our church, came to me with an urgent request. She didn't speak a word of English. So she told me through an interpreter, I want to do something for God, please. I don't know what you can do, I answered. Please let me do something, she said again in Spanish. Okay, he said, okay, I'll put you on a bus. Ride a different bus every week and just love the kids. So that's her mission. Ride a different bus in the city every week, especially in that neighborhood, and just love the kids that are on the bus. So every week she rode a different bus. We have 50 buses in our neighborhood. And she loved the children. She would find the worst-looking kid on the bus, put him on her lap, and whisper over and over the only words that she knew in English, which were, I love you, and Jesus loves you. After several months, she became attached to one little boy in particular. She said, I don't want to change buses anymore. I want to stay on that one bus. The boy didn't speak. He came to Sunday school, though, every week with his sister. And in Sunday school, he sat on the woman's lap, but he never made a sound. Each week, she would tell him all the way to Sunday school and all the way home, I love you and Jesus loves you. One day, to her amazement, the little boy turned around and stammered, I love you too. Then he put his arms around her and gave her a big hug. That was 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon. 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, the boy was found dead in a garage bag, in a garbage bag, under a fire escape. His mother had beaten him to death and thrown his body in the trash. I love you. And Jesus loves you too. Agape love, God's love, comes with a price. It put Jesus on the cross to die for us. And I think about that story and I think, oh my gosh, if anything, this story highlights how desperately this world needs a new wardrobe. God's wardrobe. Put on love, Paul says. Agape is a Greek word here. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God, the Greek says, agape the Lord your God. When it says, love your neighbor, it says, agape your neighbor. God's love is perfect love. The kind of love that God shows towards us. It doesn't hold grudges. It always forgives. It's unselfish. It puts the other person first. We are to agape our enemies. Husbands are to agape their wives. Agape is kind and gentle. I love you. And Jesus loves you too. A message the world needs to hear desperately. And it's up to the church, and we are the church. What kind of clothes are you wearing this morning? What kind of clothes are hanging in your wardrobe? Is it time for you to clean out the closet? Are you wearing kindness and gentleness and love? Agape love? What kind of clothes are you wearing this morning? I think that's a challenge for all of us today, is to take a very close look at our spiritual wardrobe. What's hanging in there? If your wardrobe is lined with impurity and lust and greed and anger and filthy language, or is your wardrobe lined with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, and love? What's in your wardrobe today? Paul would say, if you stand here today, get rid of those clothes that are earthly, worldly, and replace those clothes with what is heavenly. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, again so much for your word and for what Paul writes to us. Lord, I would ask you to examine our wardrobes, examine our closets, and see what's hanging in there. And Lord, show us what is earthly and what is heavenly. And help us to get rid of the earthly stuff. And to replace it, Lord, with the heavenly stuff. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have been much more earthly minded than heavenly minded. Forgive us, Lord, please. Lord, if we need to change our clothes right now, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we could do it right now. Lord, you know what we're wearing. If we need to change our clothes, Lord, I pray through the power of the Spirit that you would make it happen right now. May we want to wear heavenly clothes. May we want to wear, Lord, stuff from your divine wardrobe. And Lord, when people see us today, tomorrow, next month, next year, wherever, whenever, when people see us, Lord, may we be clothed in your heavenly wardrobe. And may they see the difference. And may they want to wear, Lord, what we're wearing. May we truly let our light shine, Lord. We're not the way we used to be. We're followers of Christ. We're members of the church. Help us, Lord, to know what that means as far as our behavior is concerned. We're expected to behave different from the world. Lord, help us to know what that means, Lord, and show us how to do it. And Lord, may it bring a smile to your face. Amen.